is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and we always appreciate you being here for the program. State Representative Gary Leaf joining us today. Gary, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. You know, I always look forward to being on your show. I think you're top-notch and one of the best. Well, I just wish... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I wasn't expecting that one, but okay, you go ahead.
I just wish this was a more positive week for this conversation. I'm really disappointed and distressed by the social unrest that we have experienced along with the continued overreach by our governor, despite numerous calls for a special session, including two letters from me and many letters from other various legislators to the governor. We still have this ongoing state of emergency, and we now have this emergency in district court in Eastern Oregon and the state Supreme Court debating the constitutional validity of her extended executive orders.
A lot being debated right now. I wanted to ask you maybe first off, kind of unusual format in recent days with legislative days between the Senate and the House and not being held at the same time.
Yeah, you know, we started legislative days last week, and it's a really strange virtual environment. I don't know how many Zoom meetings and stuff you do, but it's just, it's not the same as being in a regular committee meeting. And we're holding these committee meetings, but the ability of citizens to participate isn't allowed. And as legislators, we have a very limited time to ask questions of those who are testifying before us. And sometimes we're not allowed to ask at all. We really don't have to look beyond the recent firing of the Oregon Director of Employment Agency as an example of these challenges. The legislature has very little ability in this virtual environment to hold departments accountable or to really get real answers. And frankly, I thought it was very embarrassing to have the governor deal with the employment department after a U.S. Senator, Wyden, called out her on this situation. And many elected legislators have been contacting the governor's office, explaining the problems with unemployment. But it seems like that only a federal senator can get the governor to act. That's really strange.
It's been an interesting transition. And of course, all the problems that the employment department has are not going to just change overnight with the changing of the head leader.
No, it's, you know, I saw just a ton of emails come out just right after that happened. So I think the employment division's on very high alert. I got another agency liaison. Now I have two, and I've gotten over 100 people that have contacted me, not even in my district, but out of my district. And I send them back to whoever their legislator is. You need to contact so-and-so. And they contact me back and said, we've tried and we're not getting any answers. I had one from Eugene the other day, and I said, you really need to talk to your state legislator. And they said, we're not getting any response. So I'm like, okay, well, I have two liaisons that can kind of get me through the back door.
Well, and many people still are dealing with it. Of course, there's the percentage of folks who have yet to receive benefits. Now, some of them are back at work, but obviously having not gotten the benefits that they were legally supposed to be getting during this situation. And it's been clearly a tough road for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I mentioned it before. And, you know, my wife works in the office, and so she takes a lot of the calls. And she, you know, will come up and she'll talk to me almost with tears in her eyes and saying, you know, can you get this person some help? It's been 8 or 9 weeks. They've got no money coming in. They can't get a hold of anybody in the employment department. They can't send an email that gets returned. And they have kids to feed. And, you know, it's just like, at least I have a backdoor and now another liaison to help with that. And most, I think, I would say I'm probably about 98% have been resolved of the, you know, of the people that have come to me.
What about the impact on small business from this pandemic, getting back into phase one and likely the potential to be back in phase two on Friday? Small businesses have really been hit hard in this situation.
You know, I'm really troubled by the impact on our local small business operations, especially by the governor's overreach, in my opinion. I'm sure you're following the situation at Casey's Restaurant, which is so similar to the challenges faced by others in the hair salon in Salem. We had breakfast there at Casey's this morning. They do a great job. When we reach the point that the governor, through only executive orders, can shut down small business operations, I think we have a real problem on our hands. And I think that I'm hopeful, I should say, that the Supreme Court will recognize that her power was only allowed for 28 days, and that was to convene the legislature to do any of the new orders.
And in fact, I read something earlier today, and I don't remember where I saw it, but there was a question asked about this situation from maybe a different vantage point. The fact that the governor is briefing legislators, legislators are having virtual meetings, and yet citizen participation, as you mentioned earlier, is not allowed in this process. And the question came up today whether all of that really jives with Oregon's open meeting laws.
Yeah, I saw that article. I read it a little bit. And, you know, I'm not sure that they have the ability to actually make any conversation be open to the public. I mean, obviously, their notes and stuff afterwards. But, for example, if I sit down with another legislator or with the governor or the speaker, and we talk about challenges in Southern Oregon, my district, I don't open up that meeting in a Zoom call and say, you know, anybody can participate, but I have those meeting notes available if anybody wants to see those. And of course, all my emails are public knowledge too. So I don't know that that's really a problem. You have to have discussion with legislators. Now, if you have a discussion with 31 legislators that are all in the same room, then that's an open meetings law violation because you can only have under 30 that's allowed.
What about during legislative days? Talk about some of these virtual meetings that you were involved in, maybe some of the things that took place.
You know, we've had some really great meetings. I'm the vice chair of the Water Committee. I could probably spend a whole day just talking about what we talked about. And our meetings are about 3 hours long. We had very interesting information from the League of Oregon Cities that came down and talked about different agencies like the sewer and the water agencies from the city. And they're showing that their revenues are down 30%. And they used an example as Canyonville was one of those. And they make about $4.2 million in their revenue a year. And they make, or they have to pay out $3.2 million for a bond levy that they got to upgrade their sewer plant. Well, now they're making under that since people aren't paying their bill, and they're really worried about, hey, is the state going to help them out during this incline? It was really interesting. I'm on the Human Resources Committee now. We talked about services for senior citizens, food security, child care, child welfare, disabilities, youth care services. This is really interesting. We have a weekly regional economic response team meeting. This is done weekly, and it's with city managers, county commissioners, economic advisors, the employment division, and many more people that are involved in this. Matter of fact, some local businesses are sometimes on the phone and ask questions, and that's just for Southern Oregon to the coast. And then We had a policy discussion with Governor Brown. That was really interesting. A very informative meeting with her advisors who are advising her on what her order should look like. For example, we had one of the timber advisors asking her to delay her executive order on the cap and trade. And he gave her an excellent reason of why to delay. Ultimately, it's the governor's decision to do those. So those are the kinds of meetings. And we still have another week of legislative days, too.
Wow, a lot going on. We're going to talk more about it when we come back on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Gary Leaf with us. The interview and podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4. David Littlejohn and Katie Shook with True Wealth. And State Representative David Brock Smith will be on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Joined by State Representative Gary Leaf today, covering a number of things. You mentioned that legislative days are continuing. Is it a longer number of days than normal, or just the time frame set up a little differently in terms of when they started, when they wrap up?
So as I understand it, because of our virtual meetings, we normally do legislative days in 3 days, and then I'm usually there 2 more days to take in calls and meet with lobbyists and just outside people that are interested in that. So because we have, you know, I don't know, a dozen different rooms that we can have those sessions in. Now we're basically using Teams, which is like Zoom, and they only have so many that they can do and so many legislative assistants that can watch over that. And so they've had to extend it to 2 weeks. And so, like, I still have my, I'm on two Ways and Means subcommittees, and they're still coming up.
Wow. So a longer period of time, all virtual. You mentioned folks asking the governor about a special session, and it sounds like that doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Well, I've asked for it twice now, actually, in a letter. We've talked to her about that as well in some of our meetings. I think that I'm hearing from Speaker Kotek, who I talked to last week, that she thinks that a special session's imminent, but I haven't seen anything. There's no dates. There's nothing proposed. So it'll be interesting.
And
then one more thing is, if the Supreme Court rules, you know, in favor with Judge Shurtcliffe that her executive orders have now expired, we have to hold a session to do anything.
Interesting. So much to consider with that situation, and of course evolving, and you never know what the time frame is going to be with the way the higher courts operate in terms of getting back and making a decision there. So folks watching that, you mentioned at the front end.
You know, there's one other thing though too. Let's say, for example, if the Supreme Court agrees with, you know, Judge Shurtcliffe, the governor may again, take that up to the Ninth Circuit Court, because she's already done it one time. So this stay could be extended maybe all the way to the Supreme Court. We don't know.
Wow. And obviously, state rules vary. Similar actions have been taken in a lot of places. I don't know that the framework is always quite the same, but it's been an interesting situation to watch. You mentioned at the front end the protest situation around Oregon. Tell us more about your thoughts about that.
You know, I have to tell you, Kyle, that I'm really distressed by the violence which is broken out all across our country and in Oregon. This pandemic response and the forced shutdown of our business community has increased the economic challenges faced by our citizens. For example, we have a couple of renters in downtown Roseburg, and they informed me on Saturday that there was going to be a protest that night, and they went out and spent hundreds of dollars to board up the front of the windows. And you know, they can't afford to do that just to protect something that's already opened. But we cannot and should not spin into violence and hatred aimed at the random business owners and the government institutions. We have an economic and political divide in this country that, if it's not addressed, is going to lead to extreme societal changes. In so many ways, I feel that we are creating the modern day version of the Civil War. I mean, look at Medford has had these protests. Look at Portland. Portland was shut down for I don't know how long. I think they have a curfew going on now.
Right. It actually, I believe, expired today and is not in place for tonight. But I know when I came in Saturday morning, and having worked in downtown Portland many years ago, just a few blocks away from that situation, it was rather daunting to see the impact and what had taken place.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. I just learned this from our caucus leader. I actually followed up from a tip that I got from someone else. So Ted Wheeler is the mayor of Portland, and we're all mad at him because he didn't, you know, really have the police or didn't call the National Guard in to help. Well, I heard this morning that Ted Wheeler, Mayor Wheeler, actually asked the governor to send in, you know, their National Guards, and the governor refused two or three times, and I fact-checked this, and that's absolutely true. She denied national, you know, military to come in and help in that response. And I think that's really disconcerting.
Since then, the governor has allowed 50 National Guard troops to work behind the scenes in support roles and take some of the pressure off, and is brought in a number of state police, I think around 100, that are either in or headed to Portland to work on that situation as well. But yeah, it's a very unusual situation, and one that has a lot of people concerned, not just there, but throughout the state, and whether things are going to start to level off, or we're going to be dealing with, you know, more nights of this. It remains yet to be seen.
Well, and you can imagine if you extinguish it, you know, at the very beginning, you're going to stop it from exploding, but it just fuels the fire. Once they get going, it's more and more. And you've seen the protests before with Antifa in Portland. It's gotten out of control sometimes. Sometime you can't even drive down a row without somebody hitting your car. And I think that the National Guard, in this instance, should have been there immediately, and we probably wouldn't have any of these problems.
All right, a lot to consider. We're doing regular check-ins with our lawmakers around Douglas County. State Representative Gary Leaf, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, Kyle, thank you. Follow my Facebook page, please.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.